Hi, hello, I'm your host, Robin Gao at Queer Lehigh Valley, QLV, here for another episode, and I'm super excited to welcome our next guest, Magnus. Do you want to introduce yourself a little bit, Magnus?
Yeah, of course. My name's Magnus Mateo. I am gender fluid, use they, he, and she pronouns. I am a host and event organizer throughout the Lehigh Valley, as well as a poet and performer. My current projects these days are organizing and hosting Noble Quills at Book and Puppet in Easton, as well as Ice House Literary Arts Committee in Bethlehem. That's on an every other month basis. And just recently, I've picked up hosting Troublemakers Cafe at Nowhere Coffee in Allentown.
That's awesome. Keeping yourself pretty busy.
I try.
You definitely came to mind when I was thinking about conversations about queerness in the Lehigh Valley. Can you tell us a little bit about maybe like your first poetry or art event that you can remember in the Valley? What did it inspire you? What do you think of when you hear that?
So my first involvement with like the arts scene in the Lehigh Valley started back in 2019 when I would regularly attend Tuesday Muse. This was a poetry open mic series run by Lynn Alexander and Cleveland Wall at the Ice House. I always loved writing poetry, and I just wanted to give it a go on performing the poetry on stage. And I knew I was going to be a natural. I love performing. I love the stage. I love attention. Who doesn't?
For sure.
But what really got me into wanting to be more involved with the scene was post-pandemic. Mm-hmm. So I had gotten laid off from my job at the start of 2023. Mm-hmm. That sucked. So to keep myself busy, I just got back into the poetry scene, specifically with Noble Quills, mm-hmm. which was originally hosted at Barnes & Noble mm-hmm. by New Jersey poet Mike Hoff. I was attending so regularly that he asked me to help him co-host the first Poet Palooza. Such a fantastic time. I never had any sort of inkling for hosting prior mm-hmm. to that, but like I caught on real quick, hosted for like the rest of the year, and he passed along the event series for me to like take over at the end of 2023. Mm-hmm. And from there, I've just kept it running. I really love the idea of showcasing our local talents as well as any traveling and out-of-state poets. I really, really love showcasing the work and effort that people put into not just their performance, but also just their writing in general, which really prompted me to move locations from Barnes & Noble over to Book & Puppet. Andy runs Book & Puppet, and he has been absolutely wonderful at supporting what we do with the space. 3 years later, and we're still running strong.
That's awesome. It's really a huge feat to have a consistent poetry event in a local space like that.
Oh, yeah.
And there's such a beautiful community. I've had the pleasure of being at a few Noble Quills and a few other adjacent poetry events in the Easton area, and they're all always really wonderful. Mm-hmm. Hearing you talk a little bit, it makes me curious about what are some qualities that you think make like a good event host. I would say that you are one, and I've always enjoyed when you MC events or when you help run them. I think that you have a great way of welcoming people into a space, especially in, you know, arts communities tend to be very queer, very diverse. I think that you do a really good job of making people feel welcome. But what does hosting mean to you? What do you think makes a good host?
I definitely think the big part of that is creating a welcoming energy for mm-hmm. folks who come in, whether they're regulars, whether they're brand new to the scene. I want to provide like just an energy that they want to come back to. Mm-hmm. Aside from that, the logistic parts mm-hmm. is like keeping time.
Yeah.
Making sure that things don't run over time. And if they do, you kind of have a backup plan. Mm-hmm. Always be prepared for things to not go to plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a wild thing for me being autistic, though. And I will say my hosting experience in these past few years have really taught me to just kind of go with the flow without crashing out.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely hard. And I think that that's something that's really beautiful. But also, as a fellow autistic person, like, hard about art spaces is sometimes the group is moving in a way that's really beautiful and organic, and you want to let it keep going. So it's kind of a balance, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm at least that's what I'm hearing you say, and something that I've witnessed too, because sometimes there's some things that are really beautiful and organic, and then it's also like, but we can't be here until midnight.
Yeah, yeah. I always try to let folks know, like, hey, we have the space for this time.
Mm-hmm.
Let's utilize it properly.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love for us to just continue lollygagging, but let's do that outside of the venue.
Yeah, yeah.
After the event wraps.
Yeah, there's more opportunities for sure. What are some of your favorite things about hosting events?
The amount of people I get to meet, mm-hmm, is like by far my favorite thing. I've met so many different Lehigh Valley artists, not, mm-hmm, just poets, but also musicians. Mm-hmm. I've also absolutely loved getting to know folks from the New Jersey poetry scene. And even beyond that, I've met a couple folks. Well, I will be meeting a couple folks from the Appalachian area, as,
oh, cool,
well as the Kansas area. So it's just really cool to see this renaissance across the country.
Mm-hmm.
Like, poetry has never been dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I'm always so excited to see, like, so many local communities building connections over poetry.
Mm-hmm.
Who are some people who you've been inspired by? You talked a little bit about the person who started Noble Quills, but I'm curious if there's other local people or national people who inspire you, whether that's your own writing or that's hosting and creating events.
So, like, first and foremost, my biggest inspiration for, like, performance art are artists from Button Poetry.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, Neil Hilborn. I met him in, mm-hmm, person.
That's awesome.
Last November for my birthday, because he was doing like a book tour and stopped at a community college in New Jersey.
Oh, wow.
Thank God it was free to attend.
Mm-hmm.
Because like I got to meet Neil Hilborn in person. He signed my books. He's just so cool and so like easygoing. It's, mm-hmm, not like the way that people talk about celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, nah, this is just a person. And I think that's really the biggest inspiration of it all, is like these names got so big nationally,
mm-hmm,
but at the end of the day, they're still just a person.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, oh, that's gonna be me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna be that person. I'll get big, but I'll stay humble.
I love that energy. I definitely echo some of that. I think that a lot of slam poetry got me into poetry when I was in high school, because a lot of the poetry we were reading, like, I enjoy all kinds of poetry,
mm-hmm,
but I wasn't resonating as much with the themes and stuff of, like, you know, the romantic poets that I was assigned in high school,
yeah,
as I was with reading poetry. I really like Anis Moshkani.
Mm-hmm.
I really love his stuff, and I got really into poetry really through watching, literally just watching videos like you're talking about, like,
yeah,
of poetry slams or Button Poetry. So I love that.
Yeah, just to expand on that a little bit more, some local folks, well, quote unquote local.
Yeah.
I have been really inspired by all the efforts that Damian Rucci has put,
mm-hmm,
into spreading the craft of poetry, not just throughout New Jersey, but throughout the nation.
Mm-hmm.
He just came back from a 63-day tour.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's impressive.
Yeah. So, like, he's just getting back into the swing of things, like, settling back down in New Jersey. But, like, the love he has for the craft really inspires me to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
It also shows that you can be unemployed and still do the damn thing.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I think that sometimes we think that people's only value is through, like, standard work. And I'm always, like, I think about all the people who make these, like, incredibly valuable spaces and how a lot of it is unpaid.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I want to continue meeting more people in widening my horizons. And I think it's starting to show in the way that I have changed the way I write,
mm-hmm,
and also in the power behind my performance.
Do you feel like listening to other people's work influences your own writing? You were talking a little bit about that just now. So.
Yeah, sometimes. I have really struggled in the past with, like, descriptive writing.
Mm.
Little known fact, I do not think in images, like, at all. It's just internal monologue up here. And so hearing other poets who really do, like, dig into the details, I'm just like, I can do that. And I have started to do that. Some other things that have really inspired me, inspire feels like the wrong word, our current events in the world.
I get that. Maybe ignited something in you.
Yeah.
You feel a call to, I mean, I've heard a few poets, I wish I could remember whose quote it is, but a lot of people saying that poetry is often like an act of like history keeping.
Yeah.
And so I think that in our current moment that like that makes a lot of sense be responding or cataloging or however you respond in your poetry.
Yeah. It was getting to a point where I was just like, there's so many world events.
Yeah.
And I am lacking health insurance to seek therapy. So poetry will be my therapy until I can afford therapy.
Yeah, I get that. I do feel like, for me at least, sometimes there can be a healing quality to a lot of different kinds of arts. And poetry specifically can be helpful because, I don't know, it feels nice to like have a place to have your words, especially if you're trying to describe something really difficult. I know, especially when I was like working through a lot of parts of my identity, especially through just like understanding myself as a queer person, that poetry was a space where I could like get the thoughts out and then like, you know, go on with my day and go get groceries or, you know, walk my dog and not have it buzzing in my head.
Yeah. Or sometimes it does still buzz in your head. And that's what the Notes app is for.
Yeah, for sure. Glad to know you're a fellow Notes app person. I have all my questions for this on my Notes app. Cool. So moving into talking a little bit more about queerness, I've just been posing this to a few people, but what does queer community mean to you? How does that show up in your spaces? Or just what does it mean to you in general?
Yeah, so the queer community has really come through for keeping me mostly sound. It's just a wonder to be surrounded by folks who are like me instead of the way that I grew up thinking like, oh, I'm different, I'm other, I'm not wanted because of these differences. So at this point, like, I can't even think of a straight person in my friend group. I just gravitate towards, you know, my people, birds of a feather flock together and all that jazz. And that goes even beyond just being queer. It's also like being neurodiverse and also being disabled. Like having these different experiences surround me, but we all share the same thread of everyone else thinks we're different, but like that doesn't make us less human.
Yeah, and I've always felt like the spaces that you curate feel very organic like that. I think that we can often share like some similar understandings just based on like that experience of being somebody who's othered. And poetry always feels like a pretty welcoming space for weirdos, which is great.
Yes.
Not to say that everybody who's in a marginalized category is a weirdo, but like I self-identify that way, and I've often felt
you.
I've often felt like in a poetry space, like people are trying weird things in their poetry. People are exploring their identities in ways that might not be accepted in a lot of spaces. But when you create that kind of an art space, I've always felt like people are kind of like down for whatever you're bringing to the table, as long as it's, you know, respectful in some way.
Oh yeah, cool. Honestly. Absolutely love the energy of creating a safe space for creatives to gather. Because, you know, the world is lacking.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. We're going to move on to our break. And when we get back, we'll hear more from Magnus. And we'll talk a little bit about what some of their current projects are looking like.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100 or WDIY.org.
Hi, everyone. It's Robin back with QLV, here with Magnus, talking about their work as a poetry host, organizer, and poet themselves. So excited to keep chatting. how do your identities show up in your work? We already talked a little bit about disability, neurodivergence, queerness. Mm-hmm. I think that, speaking from my own perspective, it's like impossible for them to not show up in my work. But I always love what that means to other creators, both for you in terms of the events that you curate and then your own work.
Definitely in the organizer-host realm of things, my number one goal is to create a safe space for any person. And that usually does end up being mostly populated by neurodiverse, disabled, queer, BIPOC folks. Giving a voice to the otherwise voiceless really matters to me, which is also why I don't hold back in like exploring these facets of my identity through my own writing. I'm currently in the process of putting together a full-length collection.
Oh, exciting.
Yeah, so the working title is Gut Punch Trauma Dump, in which I explore just the trauma dump that has been my life, just through like childhood and adolescent abuse that I've gone through, being neurodivergent, being queer. Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I don't think I have as many queer pieces in this collection, but that might be because I'm creating a separate chapbook for it. There's a lot.
That's really fair.
But yeah, Gut Punch Trauma Dump is gonna be quite the dump, which is why I'm also making sure to create a like content warning page ahead of the collection so people know what they're getting into. It's very heavy. I've told this to my beta readers. I'm like, listen, it's right now 80 pages of just my trauma. Take breaks. It's okay.
For sure. I appreciate that care for the reader in that. And I think that that helps people enter that conversation in a way that they feel comfortable, but also allows you the space to share it. And, you know, and I'm sure in sharing that, that will be really important for a lot of people who might share similar experiences or even just similar feelings to feel seen and a place to know that, like, they aren't alone, too.
A lot of my writing comes from, you know, at the end of the day, all of my writing is for myself, but I also want it to be a place where people who relate will have someone to, like, talk to after that. Like, what's the point of opening up these conversations if you're not going to follow up, you know?
I think that sometimes, especially, like, being part of in-person events, too, I've always enjoyed how I feel like after the open mic, sometimes people stick around and kind of finish up our conversations or ask people questions about the things that they shared. And I've always really appreciated that.
Oh, yeah. That's a big thing I like to drive is just like, hey, discussion, connection. Like, let's dig into that. Let's not just show up for an event, hear people read, and then go home.
For sure. It's bigger than that. Digging in a little bit to some of your current projects, you talked a little bit about Noble Quills and Troublemakers Cafe. And the newsletter that you run. I'm curious, of these current projects, if you want to give the audience a little bit of a, like, what is it like to attend these? I assume that there's a good amount of people who listen who have been to Poetry Open Mics, but for someone who hasn't, what are the events like that you run? What's kind of the rundown?
All right, so let's say someone walks into Book and Puppet for the first time, came in there to buy a book, but sees us in the back. They're like, whoa, that's a stage. That's a mic. Stage lights? You can change the stage lights? We always try to accommodate, you know, the crowd, make sure everybody's comfortable. The seating, very comfortable. The stage, it's not intimidating the way some folks would think. It's quite an intimate space that we've built at Book and Puppet for Noble Quills. And I've been told that a lot. A lot of people have been like, oh my God, this is my first time doing something like this. You've really made it like comfortable for me to do this. And I'm like, I'm glad. I'm happy to hear that. And I also encourage folks like, there's no pressure to have to read.
Yeah.
Audience is just as important as performer. But yeah, so that's like with Noble Quills. I want folks to know that like that's a fun little time to like build community, build connections, build up your own confidence. Some of the other events that I'm involved with kind of have that energy too, but it's like not the exact same. Mm-hmm. So like with Ice House Literary Arts Committee, I try to focus on like writing workshops. So I want folks to like actually dig into the craft of writing out their work in different ways that they wouldn't have thought of.
Yeah.
I'm also trying to ease my way into the literary aspect of the committee. So the next event will be late August. I'm hoping to host the event. I'm listing it as Let's Talk Lit in Politics. So I want to invite local indie bookstores to bring their best recommendations for political literature and how it relates to our current times.
Oh, nice.
Still got to reach out to folks. More details to come. And then with Troublemakers Cafe, I really enjoy this project because it dives into spoken word poetry as a form of resistance, which is what it was to begin with.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think with the fun nature of running open mics, we kind of lose that aspect. So bringing it back to what it is really is so important, especially now.
Yeah, for sure. That's really awesome. I've seen some of the different workshops through the Troublemaker stuff, and I'm excited to attend at some point. Thank you so much for telling folks a little bit about those projects. My next question is, what are some of your current dreams for the future of poetry community in the Lehigh Valley?
Less gatekeeping.
Yeah.
I'm such a big fan of like letting most content be performed. Yeah. There is a line to follow at like, at what point are we just allowing hate speech?
Yeah, for sure.
Not that that happens often, but to think that it doesn't would be foolish.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, some folks, they run their events with the idea of like, this is a clique. And I'm like, no, it's a community.
Yeah.
And that means you have to be okay with, you know, differing experiences, differing walks of life, and honoring those differences, not trying to shut them down.
Yeah, that makes sense. And, you know, having space for difficult discussions is really important for, like, a healthy community. And I think that poetry usually does that. I mean, it usually speaks to, like, experiences that are hard to put into, for lack of a better term, like, regular words. Like, we write poetry because it's, like, a visceral experience or like something really difficult that you need to say in some way. I appreciate you sharing that. I also would love to see more welcoming, you know, all around. There, I always tell people there, whoever writes poetry is a poet, and so want them to have space.
Oh yeah.
So how can people better support event organizers and hosts? I talked a little bit earlier about I've noticed that the Valley doesn't always have that much arts funding. And I always think about event hosts and stuff in that regard. But yeah, how can people support folks who host events more?
So financially is always nice.
Yeah.
I do most of what I do on a volunteer basis. So I am doing a lot of this out of pocket. For my Ice House events, I list suggested donations that would go towards future events. So like, I don't know, pay your organizers.
Yeah.
I'm also really big on letting folks know, like, the events can continue happening if you show up. You know, share the word, spread the word, actually show up, and then, like, tell other people about the event after the fact. Because, like, I would love to see the Ice House event that I run receive larger audiences.
Yeah.
And that's just like a mixed bag with the venue. But overall, I've always loved just like performing to a crowd of 20 or performing to a crowd of two. I would like if we didn't keep having crowds of two.
Yeah, for sure. I totally get that. And like, you know, the more people show up, they can get involved and make lighter the work too, yes. I imagine, for sure. Yeah. I do feel like sometimes people don't understand how like impactful it is to just come to stuff. You don't have to do anything. Like you were saying, like, and audience members are important. They really are. It, like, your presence changes the space in a really cool way.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. And, like, I also just totally hear you. Like, organizing events in the Lehigh Valley can be, like, complicated. Sometimes it's like the wrong night. Sometimes it's like it rained.
How often yeah. I've had to deal with Pennsylvania's weird weather.
Yeah, for sure. And then also everyone's aversion to going out in it, yeah. which like I echo, so I get it. But I'm always like my poor event organizers who have labored over a thing and then, you know. But I've really enjoyed a lot of your events at Ice House. I went to the queer artist, the book fair, which yes. was really nice. It was really cool to see. I think I didn't realize how many queer local authors we had who had books and stuff. And so I really appreciate that. I think that I like that the events that you're putting on at Ice House seem to have all different kinds of audiences. I think that we did that feast, too, yes. last year, which yes. was really, really fun. We did, like, for the audience, we did like poetry around gratitude. Mm-hmm. And so I appreciate that you navigate a few different kinds of audiences or interests with that series.
Yeah. And like my main goal with any sort of theme that I throw together with those events is like the underlying theme is mental health.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it's been really wonderful running the event series over at Ice House, and I look forward to partnering with more Lehigh Valley organizations and businesses. Mm-hmm. So like, if anyone's listening and is interested in partnering with me, hit your girl up.
So we've talked a lot about your work as a host and organizer and touched a little bit about on your own poetry. I know that you have a chapbook out. I would love for you to tell the listeners a little bit about your chapbook.
Yeah. So my chapbook, She's Jealous of My Purple Sky, was published last year by Alien Buddha Press. This collection of poetry is about my late friend Tony. We had what you would call a tumultuous relationship while she was alive. Very high feelings, very high energy, and then it fizzled out. Mm-hmm. So the first half of the book kind of just explores like my feelings of like love and infatuation, and then the eventual coming to terms with we're better off as just friends. Mm-hmm. And then you heard me say late friends. So Tony did end up passing away May of 2022. Mm-hmm. And that sparked a lot of poetry of grief. Mm-hmm. And grief is just another way of love. Mm-hmm. And honestly, it was my first time dealing with grief, losing a friend as an adult.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, this collection was already something I wanted to do. So, mm-hmm. like, having this after section yeah. of, like, exploring what life is like without her is, like, a love letter to her.
Yeah.
But also for anyone who has experienced weird queer love yeah. and then lost it will probably also like relate on any mm-hmm. sort of level.
Yeah, for sure. The poems are really like immersive, and I feel like you can feel the emotions like immediately, mm-hmm. especially having heard you read them too.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad, and I hope that people go check it out then too.
It is available on Amazon. I have the link in my Instagram bio.
I love that. My like last question for you is basically like, where can people find you? How can people get involved with the different kinds of projects that you do?
Yeah, of course. So I have most of my following on Instagram. I'm listed as Magsthetic, MagsThetic. You can also follow Noble Quills on Instagram for information specifically about Noble Quills. I send out the Lehigh Valley Poetry Scene newsletter on a monthly basis through the Noble Quills email address. So that is noblequills@gmail.com. Those are really the best ways to find me. I'm also listed on Facebook as Magnus Mateo. I'm just a little pickier about who I accept as friends on that
really
account.
That's really fair. We don't need a whole listenership now. That's really fair. I just wanted to say that I really appreciate what you do for the newsletter. I think a lot of times in the Lehigh Valley, there's all sorts of cool stuff people are doing in like all different corners, mm-hmm. and they're not always together. But you're doing something which is like so important, literally just like creating a space for people to see what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
I know it's helped me be like, okay, cool. Like, I know I want to try to attend a poetry event. I can see, like, what's up.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people have found out about my events through the newsletter. So, again.
That newsletter is so blissful, I know. I originally started doing it as a way for me to keep track of all the events. Yeah. And then I was like, I've had so many people come up to me being like, oh, when's this? When's yeah, this? Yeah. When's this? And I'm like.
Now you can just reference.
Here's the newsletter. I'm not a walking calendar.
Yeah, for sure. That's amazing, though. I love that your energy is to, like, see a gap and stuff and be like, I can do that. Well, it's been really wonderful to chat, and I'm really grateful that you came here to Queer Lehigh Valley to chat about your work. I hope that people connect with you and more folks show up to all the cool stuff that you're doing. So thank you, and this has been Queer Lehigh Valley.